sitting in the morning sun.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know that tune came out somewhere around 67, 68, 69. You know, never will forget, he actually he died in Madison in the airplane crash.
Right.
Yeah.
They have a plaque up at Lake Monona.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sitting here and I forgot his name.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But anyway, Otis Redding.
Otis Redding,
yeah.
Yes.
But let's talk, Sandy, about the economy. The Federal Reserve, maybe a week or so ago, maybe a little bit more than that, raised the interest rates. And I don't know if it was 0.25% or what it was. It doesn't take a lot, right?
Well, you know, the Fed has a fair amount to do with short-term interest rates. Longer-term interest rates have more to do with what the world thinks about the future, what the financial world thinks about the future. And so, you know, what the financial world has been watching lately is this relationship between short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates. So when a bond sells, let's say a bond is going to pay back $10,000 in 2 years, and it has a nominal on its face, it says that it will pay 0.75% interest for each of those 2 years, and at the end of 2 years, you'll get paid back the principal $1,000 plus the interest.
You mean a treasury bond?
Yes.
Okay.
They get sold to the public, and the public doesn't buy them for $1,000. The public buys them for the dollar amount that they think will cause them to earn the right amount of yield being the interest you get. So let's say a $1,000 bond pays explain it, pays 5% interest. So 5% of $1,000 is $50. So each year it'll pay $50 of interest because it's 5%. But if the world decides that the interest rate should be 7.5%, then that $5 isn't going to be enough for them, so they're going to not pay $1,000, they're going to pay something less. They'll pay $800. They'll pay $750 for the bond, and then they will get 7.5% because that 5% will be 7.5%. It'd be 10% of that.
Right.
I'm not doing the math correctly. It's probably $850.
No, I understand, right.
So that's called the yield. And the yield is a reflection of what the public is willing to pay for these bonds to get the right amount of interest that they're expecting in the future. And so what the financial world looks at is the yield curve. What is the yield being earned on 2-year government bonds, and what is the yield being earned on 10-year treasury bonds? And typically, the yield required to buy a 10-year treasury bond is higher than the yield that's required to buy a 2-year treasury bond. Because over that interim 8-year period between 2 and 10, there's a lot of uncertainty. And so the public's going to say, no, I've got to earn more interest on a 10-year bond than I do on a 2-year bond. But when you're coming close to a recession, and when the Fed is involved with raising short-term rates, but if the public thinks that in the long term it's going to be some downturns in the economy, that interest rate in the long term is not as high because the inflation perceived is not as high as the near term. So we've got if you have an inflationary sort of stagflation situation where you've got inflation plus a slower economy, you'll get what's called an inverted yield curve. And that's big news in the financial world. And when the yield curve inverts, and when 10-year treasuries have a lower yield than 2-year treasuries, the financial world looks at that and says, oh, we're headed for a recession. Well, last Friday we had an inverted yield curve. And the financial community is aware of this, worried about it. And what it could lead to is something like the 70s and 80s, where we had a condition called stagflation, where interest rate is being driven up to fight inflation, but the economy is not in a boom, it's in a recession. So you end up with the worst of two worlds. You end up with recession and inflation, which is very hard on people's pocketbooks. And in the 80s, you can look at mortgage rates too. And
yeah.
Mortgages are a good reflection of this problem. And during the second half of the 1900s, mortgage rates were never as low as they were the last 3 or 4 years. And the mortgage rates in the 1980s got as high as 13% and 14% for 30-year mortgages, even higher. And so mortgage rates are going to go up. They're in the process of going up. And so that's another factor to look at in the economy, because that will have a downward effect on the value of homes and the willingness to buy homes.
So Sandy, those treasury bonds have always been a safe bet. You know, I mean, seldom, if ever, are you going to lose any money on a treasury bond. Well, yeah, There's no way you can do that.
Yeah, right? You're always going to get the face value back, because the government will essentially print money as needed to pay you back in dollars.
So it's a safe investment. It's not an investment that's going to return a whole lot of money. So people aren't going to, for the most part, when things get bad, i.e. recession and right. those kind of things, then people will go back to more buying treasury bonds.
Well, treasury bonds, the reason they have this interest rate and why the interest rate fluctuates over time is because, number one, inflation. So if you're going to get paid back $1,000 in 10 years, if there's going to be lots of inflation, the $1,000 will be worth much less 10 years from now than it is now. So you need a high interest rate to compensate you for the loss you'll have in inflation. You need an interest rate that's higher than the inflation rate to make you comfortable with lending the money. So part of that yield is the public's view of what inflation will be. And that's a big part of it. And then the other thing is, what will alternative investments get me? Will I be able to earn more by investing will the stock market be a much better place to put my money than the federal government, for instance?
So is there any way that you could be misreading the oncoming of a recession with what you just said? Because the recession is basically kind of overdue, right? I mean, we've had a lot of growth.
Well, we've had a lot of artificial stimulation of the economy with the tax cut under Trump and with the huge dollars injected during the COVID problem, and the continuation of dollars being injected based on a view that the underlying economy remains relatively weak without the stimulus that the government is providing. So I think because we don't really know, even, you know, the most learned of the economists can't really tell you
when it's coming,
how strong the economy is underlying all these sanctions. I mean, the efforts by the government to stimulate the economy.
Right.
So underlying all the government stimulants, how strong is our basic economy? And that's a little bit of a question mark, which leaves the financial world worried that when the stimulus payments go away, which they're in the process of doing, how strong will the underlying economy be? And we have this problem with the supply chain being totally broken up. Cars are still confoundedly not being manufactured. We don't have cars to sell. That's a huge part of the American economy. And all kinds of other things are broken in terms of being able to get to the marketplace because of the supply chain.
You know, Sandy, It is really a harrowing time, because we don't know, you know, what will happen after this recession, how long it's going to be. You know, people had this, you know, money that they could expend.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty good for a while, the growth. And now all of a sudden that money is taken away and people didn't really earn a lot of that money.
Well, for the last year, we've had...
So hold a thought.
Okay.
Right. Sandy Williams is here. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.